Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a subject. I know that, well, the meat of the subject you might be a little familiar with, but I bet you don't know about the word shifgab. Now, I may not be pronouncing it right, and if I'm not, then by golly, my guest is going to be able to correct me. We're going to find out about the eight building blocks to successful job transition. So if you are one of those people, you're having difficult times, listen up, because this gentleman has some wonderful tips for you. His name, Connor Kanin. Welcome, Connor, to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you for having me on the show, and I appreciate you giving me your time.
Well, it's a pleasure. Now, you can tell that Mr. Connor Kanin is Irish, not only with his name, but also with that slick accent that he's got. Connor, when did you come over to the United States?
Well, Donna, believe it or not, I sometimes tell people I come from Louisiana, but no one believes that.
No kidding.
I came over 11 years ago. I was VP of marketing with Unilever Food Service at that stage, and that's what brought me over here. So I left my homeland, Ireland. I'd been working in the UK for a couple of years, then moved over here to the United States. So I'm working on the Chicago accent, but I haven't got it down right yet.
Keep the Irish. It works better.
You're dead right. It does.
Now, I thought it was just wonderful. You were a winner, the Chicago Humorous Speaker of the Year, for a speech on customer service in San Quentin Jail. And I just think that that is absolutely awesome. And people can listen to your speech, which is on www.irishmanspeaks.com. But you really, really believe that in America, the American dream is very real. And you had a specific purpose that was behind putting this book together. Was it a purpose that entailed not just giving hope, but tools to people so they would have something to work with?
That's primarily what it was. The word is shifgab, and you had made a good effort at speaking it. Shifgab is the eight letters that are an acronym for the eight building blocks to successful job transition. And I tell my audiences, Donna, that shifgab is the Irish word for do it or make it happen. Hence, you can do it or you can make it happen in the job transition world, or you can make it and do it happen in your own personal world or business life as well. Now, some of my Irish listeners or your Irish listeners might say that shifgab is not really an Irish word, but I come back and counter and say that, well, it's an Irish word in that it was created by an Irish person.
Got it. There we go. It's personal rite of passage.
You got it.
There it is. I mean, that's all you need to do to make it Irish is to say that it's an Irishman that invented it.
But the important thing, though, is the reason why I like the word is that when I say shifgab means do it or make it happen, it becomes a mantra. And for people who are in job searching and job transition, who, as you would be aware, Dan, are going through an awful lot of pain and anxiety and turmoil, they've got to try and believe in themselves. And I keep saying to them, hey, shifgab the world, do it, make it happen. And you can shifgab the world and do it and make it happen by taking the eight building blocks that actually spell the acronym shifgab.
I think this is such an appropriate time. When I was coming into the office this afternoon, I was listening to despairing remarks on the part of certain individuals in media. And yet there was one person that was saying, I have a great deal of hope because it is the unique American spirit that has always enabled people to say, well, if something's falling apart, let's find out what we need to do to change it, to put it back together the way it's supposed to be. And so I think that today this book, talking about it, is very, very important because we need to empower ourselves, not disempower ourselves. Now, if you have a quote right at the beginning of your first chapter, which is actually titled A Rite of Passage by Sean O'Casey, who was an Irish playwright. And I really like this. He said, I found life an enjoyable, enchanting, active, and sometimes terrifying experience, and I've enjoyed it completely. A lament in one ear, maybe, but always a song in the other. Now, your book, you use a fictitious format in your book that obviously is very Irish, and you decided you were going to use this fictitious story as your basis. Why?
The reason why I decided to go with it, and for the benefit of your listeners, what I've done is I've created an Irish character, as I say, with the well-known Irish name of Finbar Kozlowski. But as you probably gather through the book, I mean, there is some kind of surprises and a little humorous pieces in it. Kozlowski isn't really an Irish name. But the idea is, Donna, that best way I can illustrate it is that I got a testimonial from a friend of mine about 4 months ago, who actually is going through transition. He's back in Europe. And he said, Connor, your book is the first book on transition and on motivation that I've actually read. I've got dozens of them on my bookshelf. And basically, the lessons I try and convey, I try to convey them in a story format. And what I've done is I've taken the 8 building blocks, and I've taken this guy, Finbar Kozlowski. He comes to the United States for a few months to research the job transition market, and the book takes the format of being a number of mini-seminar stroke workshops where we go through each of these building blocks, and we're dealing with the person who really believes that in themselves and they are confident they'll get a job tomorrow, another person is hurting. And it basically it takes the experiences and emotions I've seen when I speak to people in job search, and I've put them into the book, and I think in a very real and human way, and making the book then more readable as a result.
You bring up so many different components. Now, I want to let my listeners know that Sheifgab, S-H-E-I-F-G-A-B, Sheifgab the World. It's structure, help, environment, improve, family, goals, attitude, and behavior. And your one character that you have right in the beginning part of the book, I think his name is Bill, and he just really feels as if he has been devalued. He feels that he just doesn't have very much of a good image about himself. He gets caught up with all kinds of thinking. But Finbar doesn't put up with any nonsense, and he really feels as if it is important that you pay attention. Tell us about this character, Bill, and what Finbar does with him.
Well, basically, the idea behind Bill is a kind of a very good example of the pain and the emotion and the trauma that people go through in this job search. So many people are hurting. They feel bitter. They feel that their previous employer did them wrong, and they find real difficulty with that. I mean, Conan O'Brien, I think, is a prime example of that. He's blaming NBC big time for his problems, when, to be honest with you, I think his problems happened because he didn't perform. But for a lot of other people, they've just been let go because of the economy and the problems their companies are having. But they find that they take it very personally, which is understandable. But the point I wanted to make in the book, and that my character Finbar makes in the book, is that these things happen to people. You can't just feel sorry for yourself all of the time. It's understandable to feel sorry for yourself, but if you're 24/7 feeling sorry for yourself, you're not going to be able to walk into that interview 12 foot tall and bulletproof. You're not going to be able to present yourself well when you're doing a telephone interview, and you're not going to be the kind of person that the recruiter or the employer is going to want to have in their new business, because you've got a poisonous attitude that can infect the rest of the organization.
Absolutely. And people read that attitude very fast. They read it very, very quickly. And it's something that a lot of individuals, they need to be aware that what they're thinking, how they're feeling, does radiate through them. I mean, unless they're skilled, they're just not going to be able to get away with it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Don. I mean, body language is probably the greatest visible presenter of what you're actually thinking. I mean, your words might say one thing, but the body language is what really says it. And what I try to get across to the job seeker in the book Chief Gab the World is that S is the first building block, and it's about having structure. And one of the things that job seekers miss when they're in job search compared to their previous paid employment is that they no longer have a clear structure to their day. So they don't feel they always have to get up at the same time every morning. They don't know what they're going to be doing at lunchtime or where they're going to be doing tomorrow. And human beings need structure. I'm convinced of that. And if you don't have a structure or a clear idea of what you're going to be doing today or tomorrow, you're not going to feel empowered, you're not going to feel energized. And the first building block, I say, is the foundation stone. Put structure in your day so you know what you're going to be doing, when you're going to be doing it, and when you're going to be finishing it as well.
I agree. You have a chapter titled Help, and in there, and I wrote my own little statement next to it, you said, first impressions count, and I put a little note, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. And that is in just about everything. It's amazing.
It really is. You know, it's interesting. A friend of mine, when he was in job search a couple of years ago back in Ireland, he was at a networking event and he met a recruiter. He was telling me this story about a year after this particular networking event. He met the recruiter and nothing came of it. But about a year later, my friend, Jack was his name. Jack was actually now in paid employment again. And he met the recruiter. And the recruiter said, you know what, Jack, the difference between the you I see now and that I saw 12 months ago when you were in job search is like chalk and cheese. And I was not impressed. He said this to him. He said, I was not impressed with you when I saw you 12 months ago. Now you're a different person. And mm-hmm. The challenge the person in job search has got is, you've got to impress the person when you're walking into that interview or when you're at the networking event. And I'm not saying it's easy, but there are certain things that you can do to pump yourself up, feel better about yourself, so you can walk into a room and impress someone. And as I say, be 12 foot tall and bulletproof.
You have a quote in that chapter that I really liked. It's by Frederick Douglass. A little learning indeed may be a dangerous thing, but the want of learning is a calamity to any people, the want of learning. That is absolutely, in my book, paramount to living a rich life. You should never want to stop learning unless it's time for you to leave. I mean, unless you're wanting to die. It just doesn't make sense. There's so much in this world we don't know about, and there's so much to explore. And if someone is in a transition, if they take the opportunity to invest in themselves and do reading and explore different options, do some volunteer work, it can make a tremendous amount of difference.
There's no doubt about it, Don. I mean, the Chief Gab, S-H-E-I, I is about improving yourself. And one of the things I've got a Chief Gab the World session now this Thursday here in the Naperville area. I'm just outside of Chicago. And one of the questions I will ask people at this session who are in job search is, can you say honestly that you have improved yourself during this job transition process? And I'll probably get about 30 to 35% of the audience will raise their hands and say, yes, I have improved myself. And basically what I try and do is I try and challenge the other people to say, look, you're doing the hardest job you've ever done in your life, which it is, trying to find a job. You've got to be able to say to your prospective employer, while I was working hard at doing this, I was also improving myself. I was either reading about your company, or I was improving my networking skills, or I was improving my PowerPoint skills, whatever it is. But don't come into an interview with me and tell me that you've done nothing to improve yourself in the last 6 months or whatever period you've been out. Because someone else is going to come in who's been out for the last 6 months, and they'll say, on these various aspects, I have improved myself. Who's going to get the job?
Mm-hmm.
It's the person who improved themselves. And I really do encourage job seekers to find ways to improve themselves. And when they improve themselves, they're also going back to that first building block, which is putting structure into their day, because they know that they've got 1 hour a day or a half day a week to set aside to actually do a specific thing to improve themselves, which is going to make them feel better about themselves as well.
You talk about a crappy environment creates crappy performance.
indeed, yes. This is one of the incidents where Finbar is not pulling any punches. And this is an example of, we're doing the telephone interview now. I'll give some specific points that can make a big difference to the person who's doing the telephone interview. Right now, Donna, I'm standing because I project myself better when I'm standing. And I think the job seeker should do that. The other thing is I've got your wonderful, pretty mug shot in front of me on my computer.
A mug shot, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
So I've got your website here in front of me. So when you laugh there, I mean, I can see that laughter coming out in your face as well because you have a lovely smiling face. But it just helps to create a better connection between me and you. And it's the same with the telephone interview. If you can find a photograph of your interviewer online, put that up during your telephone conversation or telephone interview. If you can't find that, maybe just put the website of the company up with some of the products so you can possibly reference those. But so specific things. One is I'm standing up. The second thing is I've got your photograph in front of me. A third thing is, and this goes back to the crappy environment or getting rid of it, I have a completely clear desk. I've only just got a couple of points that I want to specifically talk to you about. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the desk is completely clear. And what job seekers fail to do, and a trap they all nearly fall into, is that they let... the question I ask is, have you got an office right now at home that your prospective employer would be impressed with? And when I ask that question, virtually everyone in the room just breaks out laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that they have got an office that's a mess. And I basically challenge them, then I say, after they've stopped laughing, I say, is that funny or is it sad? And of course, you kind of get mixed reactions, well, it's funny and it's sad. But the point is, you're a product of your environment. And if you are operating in an environment that is not optimal, you're not going to be able to present optimally. And one of the simple things that job seekers tend to fall into, and I can understand it, is that they have an office space that is messy, untidy, the cheese sandwiches hiding underneath the 4 weeks of mail or whatever it is, and then they expect to be able to stand up and do a good interview or telephone interview while they're surrounded by all of this rubbish. A simple thing to improve their telephone chances or interview chances and feeling better about themselves is to tidy their office.
You have in your improvement section what you mentioned just a moment ago, and that is voice. And being in media and having worked with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people through the years, and interacting with interviews and also being a private counselor as well, the voice is so important. And people have gotten to the positioning, especially the younger generation, where they are communicating via email. They're not even talking to each other. What would you say to someone when they're going to be on the phone? I cannot tell you how many times I have engaged people on the telephone, and I wonder where their brains are. They honestly do not know. They've never been trained. They don't honestly understand how important their voice is and how their communication skills speak volumes.
You're dead right. One of the things that job seekers anyone who is job hunting right now needs to do is they need to practice. And when they're finished practicing, they need to practice again. And that means things like telephone skills or interview skills. They should go to the local career center and they should get a practice interview or a mock interview done, which they can probably get videotaped. And when they have that one done, then they should book another practice interview, and then they should book another practice interview after that. And it's the problem is that communication is such an instantaneous thing. I mean, you made the comment earlier that you've only one chance to make a first impression. And it's the same with the telephone interview as well. If you're not used to presenting yourself and articulating what you want to say, you're not going to be able to do it well. And that's why it's important that you go to your career center or job center and try and practice some of these skills. If you've got a friend who is a HR manager, for instance, who probably is job hunting as well at the moment, maybe you do a practice telephone interview with them as well. But you're not going to present yourself as well as you can do if you don't practice.
You have a wonderful section in your book where you list 10 websites for people that might be currently unemployed, and these are available to any of you. Of course, you all know about Craigslist, you know about Monster.com, Hot Jobs, USA Jobs, Job Hunters, Bible.com, but he's got so many others listed in the book. This is not just a how-to in the sense of getting you motivated to motivate yourself to be up and to chief gab the world, but what it is also is a very good informational resource for you to utilize. Now, Connor, you have a section on family and friends, and at the first page, or on the first page, you have a quote by Albert Camus: "Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Just walk beside me and be my friend." That is a wonderful quote, absolutely wonderful. How significant is the influence of family and friends, and what should you do about your interactions with family and friends when you're going through this period of not having a job?
Well, you know, Donna, the irony of this whole job transition market is that there's, depending on what numbers you look at, 15, 16 million people in job search right now. And that actually is 15, 16 million people who are very lonely. And it's a real irony that you can be surrounded by other people who are going through the same pain, but you're feeling as if you're isolated and alone. And then you've got the family situation where you've got worries about finances. You've got worries as to whether or not you can send the kids to the college they want to go to, or whether you can take a vacation. And your spouse or your partner is anxious about various things as well. And it really is a problem which the job seeker accentuates by some of their activity. And in the book, I talk about a concept called parking spots. And if, for instance, the way I illustrate it is that if when you were in your previous corporate job, for instance, you used to get to work at 6:30 in the morning and you were always able to get your favorite parking spot. And you've been able to get your favorite parking spot for the last 3 years. And suddenly you come in on a Tuesday morning and someone has taken your favorite parking spot. Your reaction is kind of a, you know, you want to slash the tires or key the car or something like that. Totally illogical, because someone has taken your parking spot. What happens with the job seekers is that so many of them would have been out of the house 50 and 60 hours a week or even more when they were in their paid employment. Now they're actually in job search. They're spending most of the time at home and they're taking parking spots at home. So, for instance, if little Johnny comes in, he's been used to being on the computer at 4 o'clock after school. Now dad or mom is on the computer and little Johnny can't get to it. Those kind of simple little things can impact on the relationship. And I really do urge people to not take parking spots at home. And one of the ways to not take parking spots at home is to take that, the E in Chief Gap, which stands for environment. Change your environment. Get out of the house, go to the local library, go to the local career center or Panera or wherever it is, but do the bulk of your work outside of the home and stop taking parking spots at home.
Very good point. And I can testify to the effectiveness of going to a library, because they have study rooms, you have ample opportunity to take advantage of all the material that's there. If you need to do some research, there's wonderful librarians that their skills are outstanding. A library is a resource that a lot of people don't really pay attention to, and especially as adults. And it's a wonderful resource, and it's free. I mean, you go in there, it's there to serve you, and you can utilize it. I just think it's a great resource, and their study rooms are wonderful. It's great.
Yeah, and there's so much support there from the librarians and the reference people, as you say. But also what it does is that, what I suggest is just simple little points to encapsulate some of the building blocks we've spoken about. I tell people that, for instance, when it comes to structure that you are going to be at your local library at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And when you're walking into the local library at 9 o'clock, because you're achieving a small goal, which is part of the Chief Gab, G for Goals, because you've achieved a small goal, you're going to feel better about yourself. then you say that, all right, I'm going to be at this library for 2.5 hours. When you're leaving after 2.5 hours, you're going to feel much better about yourself as well, because now you've worked in a pretty productive environment. You haven't been wandering around the web and surfing all various unsavory sites, etc. And you're going to feel much better about yourself. But you've changed your environment, and you're going to drive back home or go to the next networking meeting feeling fresher, simply because you changed your environment. You went to the local library or maybe a Panera or somewhere like that.
You bring up networking, how important it is to be out there interacting with people. You talk about attitude, ageism, and you have a quote by Amelia Earhart that I really liked. No kind action ever stops with itself. One kind action leads to another. A single kind action, single act of kindness throws out roots in all directions, and the roots spring up and make new trees. The greatest work the kindness does to others is that it makes them kind themselves. Now, the reason I give that quote is because we never know where opportunity is going to link us into a job positioning that is going to be absolutely perfect for what we need and for what we want to do. And if we're out there and we have a good attitude and we're thoughtful about the people around us, not only is it going to make us feel better, but it's going to have an effect on others, too.
You're right. And, you know, when you make a difference to someone else's life, or you make some effort to help them, no matter how you are feeling, you're probably going to hear two of the most uplifting and important words in the English language: thank you. And when someone says thank you to you, you're going to feel a bit better about yourself and maybe a bit more motivated. And the more thank yous you can get, and job seekers don't get a lot of thank yous because they don't put themselves a lot of the time in a position to receive those thank yous. But the more of them you can get, the more you're going to feel better about yourself. And the more you feel better about yourself, the more you can walk into that interview 12 foot tall and bulletproof. But these things don't happen, as I indicate in the book, just because you want them to happen. You've got to work at this. And it is a dreadfully trying, emotionally difficult process, this job transition process. But you've got to take steps each day to try and get to that winning and victory line, which you will do. But it ain't going to happen just because you want it to happen.
I agree. Now, you have a brand promise that you call E4, which is Energize, Educate, Entertain, and your system is easy to work with. Connor Canine, an Irishman through and through, who has a passion for lifting people up and helping them help themselves so that they can see results in their life in the way that they want it. Sheath Gab the world. Do it, make it happen. Connor, what is your website that people can go to find out more about what you do and your speaking and other things?
My website is irishmanspeaks.com, which is pretty easy for people to remember, I think, irishmanspeaks.com. And I've got some video clips there and also some articles in relation to the business and people growth that will help people. And you mentioned the Humorous Speaker of the Year competition that I won a couple of years ago, which is titled Customer Service in San Quentin Jail. That audio clip is actually on my home page. And if someone wants a good laugh just before they do the next interview, they should listen to that at Irishman Speaks.
Well, I agree, and I think that it's just been absolutely delightful. Sheath Gab the world, SHEIFGAB, Sheath Gab the world, 8 building blocks to successful job transition. Connor Canine, and that's ConorCunneen, is a man that has just a delightful way of presenting insightful information that can help you achieve your goals and be able to work with the transitions that are going on in your life right now. Connor, thank you so much for being my guest today.
It has been an absolute pleasure, Donna. I love the way you interview people, and you, I know, will help people to Sheath Gab the world as well.
Thank you, Connor. Sheath Gab to everybody that goes in and through your processing, but also I think it's a delight that you're out there doing what you're doing. Thank you again for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't forget, IrishmanSpeaks.com. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, and if you would like to chat with me, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free worldwide telephone number you can call into, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for those of you that have a story about the paranormal, whether it is a ghost story, something like a near-death experience, whatever, I would love to have you email your story. I'm putting together a collection of 100 stories, and I'd love to hear yours. So if you could, send it to me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. And then be sure to include your contact information so that when the time comes where we put everything together in a book and it's all ready to go and be published, then you will be mentioned and you'll be given due credit, as you should be. I was typing up a bunch of stories this morning, and I find there are so many different experiences that people have when it comes to dreams, when it comes to out of body, near death, talking with animals. It's absolutely fascinating. So I invite you to share your story. And why is this significant? Because this book is meant to help people understand they're not alone in having experiences like this, and that there are other people that have gone through experiences, and knowing what they went through and how they dealt with it often can empower an individual in a very special way. That happened to me so many years ago when I first found out about my own intuitive capacities, and I wasn't aware of these experiences that I was having when I was out of the body. And it was really good to pick up a book that was written by Tusti Lobsang Rampa. He was a Tibetan Lama, and he passed along a lot of the training that he was given himself. And it just opened my eyes to a whole world that to this day still fascinates me. So send it to donna@delphiinternational.com, and be sure to put in the subject line, story for Donna's book, or the equivalent thereof, so that I can recognize it quickly. I have so many emails that I have to go through almost on a daily basis, and it really can be a bear. Now, on Friday, And again, the telephone number to call into if you would like to do this is 888-815-9756. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I love to know where you're calling from. And then after I tell you what I perceive, then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you would like to know about. Now, on Friday, I ran out of time. We had so many callers about a non-toxic ant bait. We have animals, and maybe you do too, so whatever you put down for animals, you know, that's around animals, you really have to be thoughtful. If your dogs, cats, aerosols that are toxic for bug sprays, etc., or if they get into something, it will kill them and or even cause cancer after a period of time. And I know this because it happened to one of our dogs that was exposed to pesticides that we were told, gee, it would never bother them. But then we found out that someone had sprayed our lawn with them, and dogs lick their paws. Cats do the same thing. So we have to be consciously thoughtful about what we bring into our environments. And if we have children and they're out crawling on the floor, you need to think about these things. What are you putting down? What if that somebody touched it and put it in their mouth? And babies do this all the time. Animals do it all the time. What are they going to be picking up? What kind of a toxin could they possibly be absorbing? Maybe they inhale it. Maybe they taste it. It's just the reality of life. So we have to think about these things. Well, I was sent some wonderful information by a gal, Deb, and this was on ant bait. And I just thought, this is so simple. You wouldn't have to worry about it if a baby found this or if an animal got into it. You would not have to be concerned because it's not toxic. And this is how simple it is. All you do is take a quarter of a cup of sugar, a quarter of a cup of baking yeast, a half a cup of molasses, and then you have 3x5 index cards. Now, there's not anything in any one of those ingredients that would hurt anything. You mix the sugar, the yeast, and molasses in a small bowl. And then you spread a thin layer of this mixture on index cards with a knife or spatula and place the cards syrup side up in areas where ants are a problem. It's safe and it's non-toxic. I thought, this is so simple. My goodness. You know, I was talking with someone that had just been in Florida. And in Florida, they were visiting someone in their family and there were anthills all over the place. Well, that's just a part of what comes with living in Florida. You have a lot of ants. Living in California, we have a tremendous amount of ants. I mean, I remember as a little girl, anthills. And one of the games I'd play is squash anthill and see how quickly the ants built it up. It just absolutely fascinated me how efficient ants were. But they were everywhere. And often we put down poison, we put down all kinds of stuff. Well, at that time, nobody even really gave it much of a thought. But today, we are very thoughtful because we are aware that what we use can affect our environment. It affects the water, it affects the soil, it affects everything. So here is something that when she sent this to me, I just couldn't pass it up. It was just absolutely marvelous. She sent me some other stuff on glue and other things like that, and I said, well, that's fine. But this one on the ant bait I thought was particularly interesting because it would be a great thing to have around, out of sight, out of mind, put it right in the path of the ants. And if you have any scouts that are out looking around, put it where they're going to find it, and by golly, you've got them. It will just take care of the problem very nicely and very well. And I want to thank her for, I want to thank Deb for sending that to me. Also, I want to take this opportunity to thank Betty, who sent me a wonderful story. And I could have saved it for Memorial Day, but I decided I would share it today because it's very important. Now, by the way, if you want to chat with me, the number to call into is 888-815-9756. Now, I don't know if you're aware of Audie Murphy. Now, Audie Murphy was an absolutely incredible war hero. There is a movie that was made on him that if ever you have a chance to watch it, I've not seen it. I think I've seen just a few snippets of it. But he wasn't a particularly big guy, but what he was able to do as a warrior, I'll use that term, was amazing, absolutely incredible. Well, what a lot of people don't know about is his wife. And when Betty sent me this information, I said, I have got to share it with you because this was an incredible woman. Now, her name is Pamela Murphy. Now, she was involved with the Sepulveda VA Hospital and Care Center for over 35 years, and she treated every veteran, assisted every veteran who ever visited the facility as if they were a VIP. Now, she just died about a week ago. She was 90 years old. Now, being the widow of the World War II hero and also the actor, he became a very successful actor. She died peacefully in her home. She is survived by her sons, Terry and James, and she had over 30 years, as I said, working as a patient liaison at the Sepulveda VA Hospital. And she was just so very, very special. After her husband died, every veteran that came into that hospital, every single one of them, she considered her boys. Any soldier or Marine who walked into the hospital and care center got the VIB treatment from Pamela Murphy. Now, as I mentioned to you, Audie Murphy was the most decorated soldier in World War II. But she would walk the hallways of the hospital with a clipboard in hand, making sure that any men that came in, her boys, as she called them, would see a specialist or a doctor. And if they were ignored, she was on their side and worked as their liaison. And she said she didn't care whether they got a Medal of Honor or not, and whether or not they were movie stars like her husband. Her issue was they had served their country, and that was good enough for her. Now, something that she never did was call a veteran by their first name. It was always Mr. She respected them. She felt that was her job. And nobody, according to the veterans, could cut through VA red tape faster than Mrs. Murphy. Now, there's a veteran, Stephen Sherman, who spoke for thousands of veterans that she took care of over the years, and many of them became very, very good friends. He said, many times I'd watch her march a veteran who had been waiting more than an hour right into the doctor's office. She was even reprimanded a few times, but she didn't care. The only thing that was important was that her boys got the care that they needed. They called her their angel. Well, apparently, just before she passed away, she was watching a Laker game, took her last breath, and that was it. She went very, very peacefully. Now, she lived in the same apartment that she lived in when her husband, Audie Murphy, died in a plane crash on Memorial Day weekend in 1971. Interestingly enough, Audie Murphy died broke. He squandered millions of dollars on gambling, bad investments, and even other women. But Pamela had a very unique attitude. She said, even with the adultery and the desertion at the end, he was always my hero. Now, because of the financial devastation after his death, she went from a comfortable ranch-style home in Van Nuys, where she raised two sons, to a small apartment, taking a clerk's job at a nearby VA hospital to support herself, and she started paying off her faded movie star husband's debts. Now, no one really knew who she was when she started off doing her patient liaison work, but the word spread through the VA hospital that the nice woman with the clipboard was Audie Murphy's widow. She said it was like saying Patton had just walked into the front door. Men, when they would see her, would walk up to her and give her a hug and say thank you, and they thanked her again and again. Now, they said the first couple of years, the hugs were more for Audie's memory, and then the last 30-plus years, they were for Pam. She didn't like the spotlight, and one year she was asked to be the focus of a Veterans Day column for all the work she had done, and she said, nope, you honor my boys, not me. And she pointed to a group of veterans down the hall, saying they're the ones that deserved it. The vets disagreed. They felt that Mrs. Murphy deserved the accolades that they gave her. Now, in 2002, Pam's job was going to be eliminated in budget cuts. Now, remember, she was in her 80s. She was considered excess staff. I don't think helping cut down on veterans' complaints and showing them the respect they deserve should be considered excess staff. And that's what she said to this veteran. Neither did the veterans who loved her so much. They literally went ballistic. They held a rally for her outside the Veterans Hospital, and the word came down from the top of the VA that Pam Murphy was no longer considered excess staff. She remained working full-time for the Veterans Administration until 2007, when she turned 87. And the last time she was at the hospital was a couple of years ago for the conference they had for homeless veterans. And this was stated by Becky James, who's the coordinator of the VA's Veterans History Project. Pam came in because she wanted to know if there was anything she could do to help some of her boys. Never think that one person cannot make a difference. Audie Murphy's widow, though she did not get a lot of what I'd say public recognition, she didn't want it. She took care of her boys, and that was the most important thing for her. A wonderful story about a wonderful lady. One person makes a difference. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Hey, I've got that Chinese Oriental salad for you. I'll have that recipe ready when we come back, so get that pad of paper and pen. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
This is Donna. Let me tell you the telephone number, 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with William Murtha. We're going to be talking about 100 words about 200 visionaries. Having a vision is important. Sometimes you really need to make it so outrageously big that maybe it even seem impossible that you could reach it. Well, don't worry about making it so big that it's impossible to reach it. Make it as big as you want, and then start with tiny little steps to go towards it, and you might surprise yourself at how you're able to reach it. So anyway, we're talking about that tomorrow. Also, I wanted to let you know that we've got some great guests this week. On Wednesday, we're going to be talking about getting past your breakup, Susan Elliott. Romance an issue in your life? You're going to want to listen to Susan. And then my guest, Gary Reiswig, that was supposed to be on with me on Friday, and that didn't happen. Well, he's going to be on with me on Thursday. Teresa Tapp is not going to be able to join us, but Gary is. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about Overcomers, Inc., true stories about people that have survived phenomenal circumstances. And then, of course, on the 31st, which is Memorial Day, we're going to be talking about, sooner or later, restoring sanity to end-of-life care and lots of other good things. So just know we've got some great guests coming up, and I invite you to share the time with us. And also, give me a call if you want me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. Okay, got that pad of paper and pen together. A Chinese chicken salad, really fast, great for a light lunch or dinner. And you probably have most of these items around the house, but if not, keep them handy, because people just absolutely love this salad. Now, what you need, Hey, if you're in a hurry, just a bag of greens, buy at the store. You know, they have the dressing on the inside. Or sometimes they don't even have that. You don't have to get it with dressing. You get just a plain bag salad. So you get a bag of that. You're going to need a can of water chestnuts. You want to slice them after you've drained them. And then you need one can of mandarin oranges. You want to drain those. And then one large can of chicken breast meat. And then a half a cup of dry roasted peanuts. And you may not like peanuts. Then if you don't like peanuts, use walnuts. Use your favorite nut, a half a cup. And then if you like green onions, well, toss in about three or four of those. Chop them up, the whites along with the green. And then have some of the canned Chinese noodles. That'll give extra crunch. And then your favorite Oriental salad dressing, whatever you like. Easy. Couple of minutes. All you have to do, chill all of your ingredients so when it comes time to put your salad together, they are exactly that chilled. Toss it with your chilled salad dressing, top with Chinese noodles, and serve it. How easy can that be? It is absolutely wonderful. You don't necessarily have to use canned chicken meat if you do what a friend of mine does. She goes to the store and she buys one of the roasted chickens. She takes the skin off. She's very fat conscientious. But most of the fat has been rendered out of those roasted chickens. And then she just takes the meat, cuts it up, takes all the bones out, and she said she puts it in containers so that she can then have her chicken whenever she wants it. And she said, it is amazing how many servings I get for meals and different ways that I can use it. She uses it to stuff, you know, tortillas so she can make enchiladas or use it for tacos or salads. And she loves an Oriental chicken salad. So there are those restaurants. You can pay up to anywhere from $8 to $12 for a salad. Why not have something like this at home? Delicious and light. And it is heart healthy. So just really simple to do. I loved a comment that Irma Bombeck made. She said, I worry about scientists discovering that lettuce has been fattening all along. Gee whiz, wouldn't we be disillusioned with that? Oh, I loved Emma. She was just a doll. Anyway, that's a quick salad for you, and one that I know that you would enjoy, and it's light. It's just perfect for, you know, warmer weather. It's just absolutely marvelous. I wanted to share with you some information. You know, you hear all of these ads on the radio and on the television. There is this financial panic that says, oh, buy and invest in gold. Well, what would you think about a gold coin the size of a pizza weighing 220 pounds. Mm-hmm. There's actually a coin like that. It was produced by the Royal Canadian Mint in 2007, and it's worth over $2 million. The coin featured maple leaves on one side and Queen Elizabeth II on the other. I wonder what they would try to do to make change with something like that. And where would you lug that thing around? 220 pounds of solid gold coin. I bet you that's under lock and key. You wouldn't want to have to take that into a bank and get change. That would really be a tough one. Also, there is absolutely amazing information about a North American website that's showing pictures of clothing that have been discarded on sidewalks across the world. They include T-shirts, sneakers, baseball caps, and even a prosthetic leg in Singapore. Can you imagine? Well, how would you like to buy, in this last little bit of trivia, a perfect egg? Well, scientists in Britain have developed an egg that times itself so it's always boiled in perfection. Maybe I should have said to perfection. Now, you can choose from cartons labeled soft, medium, or hard, and shoppers buy eggs that are marked with lion logos in heat-sensitive invisible ink. Guess what happens? The ink turns black as soon as the egg is ready. This takes from 3 minutes for soft-boiled to 7 minutes for hard-boiled. Amazing. I'm telling you, people come up with the most interesting stuff. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We have run out of time. I look forward to joining you tomorrow. Tell your friends and come on by. Have a listen. And if you want to chat with me, I'd be delighted to do that, too. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.